May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. May all beings be free from harm. May all beings love life. May all beings awaken. Welcome to another Gook Audio Podcast, Tassajara Stories. I'm DC Puba of Gook Audio and Gook Archives, preserving the legacy of Shunryu Suzuki and those whose paths crossed his, and anything else that comes to mind. I pray that you and yours are safe and comfortable and free from economic stress and able to get out and do whatever it is you want within the limitations of the universal precept of do as little harm as possible. So let's get right into two short pieces in Tassajara Stories, The Early Years with Shunryu Suzuki, a work in progress. The first one, once again, is not at Tassajara. It's in the city. And who knows, it might not make the final cut, but it'll be somewhere. Might have to change these names. You know, I'm using everybody's real name. And more, I think it'd just be so easy to go back, to do it to, because see, if it's online and somebody gets hold of me and says, you know, I don't feel so comfortable about that anymore, I can take their name off it and make it anonymous or whatever. If it's obvious it's them in the story, I can take it off or whatever. But if it's a book or probably an audio book first, Tassajara Stories, I don't know. We'll see. I'm just thinking of changing the names. I mean, and those of us who were there and know it, we'll know who's who, are mainly. Anyway, so this is another one with Bob. it's called Bob and Whom. H-O-O-M. In the San Francisco airport, Hare Krishna devotees would offer a whole big color copy of the Bhagavad Gita and suggest a donation. They were more popular in the panhandle of Golden Gate Park, where they dished out great free vegetarian meals on Sundays and danced around chanting. Moonies would bestow flowers at the airport, some of them making up to $70,000 a year for the Unification Church devoted to Sun Myung Moon becoming the head of a United World's Perfect Families. The Soka Gakkai folks would ask passersby on Market Street if they would like a free meal. Bob said, sure. I wasn't so keen, but here we go. Soka Gakkai were evangelical Nichiren Buddhists. Nichiren Shoshu are the true sect of Nichiren. They were the largest sect of Buddhism in America, maybe still are, and unlike Zen and Vipassana, attracted minorities and the poor. Their organization had been actively campaigning for world peace since World War II, and they were the only Buddhists I know of who said, all the other Buddhists were heretics. Inside, there were a lot of people, mainly young, being so nice to us. Attractive young Japanese women sat near us and made sure we were happy with the meal, which wasn't bad. We ate a lot. Then we were asked to join them in the auditorium. The meeting mainly consisted of everyone chanting the Gohonzon, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, homage to the Lotus Sutra. It was explained to us that all we needed to do was to chant that, and not only would we attain Buddhahood, but we would get whatever we wished, like a new car. Good. I'd like a new car, I said. So we chanted with about 100 others, and the chanting went on a while. I was ready to leave, but Bob was so into it. He was chanting feverishly. I could tell that the regulars there were pleased at what appeared to be a new convert. But when their chanting came to an end, Bob didn't stop. Lots of smiles around the room, appreciating his enthusiasm. He was a man possessed. He went to the aisle and kneeled, the homage to the Lotus Sutra forcefully erupting from him, spittle spraying, walking on his knees fervently toward the altar. Namyo Rengeyo, Namyo Rengeyo, Namyo Rengeyo, Namyo Rengeyo. The joy of the assembly and Bob's devotion started to wear out. There were other items on the agenda, but he wouldn't stop. Eventually, they gave up and four guys carried him out, chanting like a man in a trance. He kept chanting, lying on the sidewalk. Pedestrians looking curiously at them as they walked by. Finally, he stopped, looked up at me from the pavement, winked, and said, "I'm saved." There was a spiritual group called the Holy Order of Mans that had a house near Du Bois Circle in San Francisco, not far from the Zen Center. They wore black with clerical collars and were nice people into some sort of mystical Christianity. We'd see them at events and around town. One evening, Bob and Mike Gilmore were walking back to the city center through the seedy Tenderloin section of town. A few young, clerically clad HOOM members approached. Bob said hi. They stopped to talk. The homesters were all smiling, a female smiling especially blissfully. Bob asked her what she was so happy about. She said that she was at peace, beyond desire and anger. "Oh, is that so?" he said, and hauled off and slapped her on the face so hard she fell down. Gilmore told me all about it when they got back to the city center. Bob said that he was afraid he'd hurt her, that he'd gone too far. But before he could apologize, she called out, "Thank you, thank you. You have shown me that I'm not beyond anger." He helped her up. She was crying and continued to thank him over and over. So that's Bob and Hoom. Now, Bob had another version of this when I talked to him about it recently. But this is definitely how I remember it. That's the way I have it down here. I don't know. So, next, Ruvain and the Guard. Most the males at Tassajara were draft age, and close to everyone was against the war. There were a few, like E.L., Tommy, and Stanley, who had been in the military before. Most had gotten out of the draft one way or another. A number were conscientious objectors, whose firefighting status at Tassajara covered their obligation. Ruvain had joined the National Guard. He had to go for 2 weeks' service during the summer. On Sunday, the guardsmen gathered before dispersing to the place of worship of their choice, Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish. Ruvain, holding a zafu and a little bell, said he was a Zen Buddhist. He was told he could have a room for his prayers. He said he just wanted to meditate under a nearby tree. The officer said that a room would be better. Ruvain said that Buddha was enlightened while meditating on the lawn under a tree, and that was his religious practice. The officer reluctantly said okay. Immediately, a handful of others raised their hands and said that they were Zen that they were Zen Buddhists too. The officer gave up and said, okay, you can go join him under that tree. Ruvain had them first go get cushions, blankets, whatever they could find to sit on. Once they were all gathered by the tree, he proceeded to give a Zazen instruction. He had them loosen their ties and unbuckle their belts, pull their shirt tails out, and open their pants up on top so that there would be nothing restraining their lower abdomens from freely moving in and out while breathing. He told them to be perfectly quiet, relaxed but alert. Just sit, do not move, and follow the breath. The commander of the base was walking nearby and noticed the group sitting under the tree. As he approached, he saw that these guardsmen were breaking the dress code, not presenting themselves in public as befits guardsmen, and called out, "Attention!" Ruvain quietly reminded the sitters so that the commander could hear that they were in a religious service and were not to move or make a sound. The commander loudly called out again, "Attention!" and added that they were breaking the dress code and were to immediately tuck their shirts in, button and belt their pants, tighten their ties, stand up, and get presentable. Everybody continued sitting quietly without moving. The commander started screaming at them, jumping up and down with clenched fists. Ruvain hit the bell and softly gave instruction on what to do as the period ended. The commander stormed off. There were no recriminations for Ruvain or the others. He continued to do strange things that threw the officers there off balance. He reported to duty one morning with a teddy bear and said he couldn't touch guns. He was allowed to finish his commitment to the guard by meditating alone in a room for some days and was told he would not have to return. Oh, wow. Thank you, Ruvain, for that. And thank you, Bob. Wow. Okay. This has been a Cuke Audio Podcast. I'm DC, Pooh Bob, Cuke Audio and Cuke Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Doggett Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka. And we're wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.